If everything's under control, you're just not going fast enough. Mario Andretti.
Welcome to Ghost Spaghetti, the podcast where two people talk about all things ghosts and occasionally something spaghetti while being experts at neither. My name's Jason.
My name's Red.
And esteemed spaghetti heads, we at Ghost Spaghetti hope you always follow the speed limit. Red, that quote was a bit much.
I know, but unfortunately, there are no cool, please drive sensibly quotes.
That's fair. Today, we're talking all about cars. Those amazing machines we spend so much of our life in. The mechanized contraptions that are extensions of our autonomy. It's only natural to speculate that our connection to them can transcend this road and into the one in the great beyond.
Speaking of roads, to the great beyond, have you ever heard that spooky Grease fan theory?
I have not, but I'm sorry, Red. Is this a ghost and spaghetti podcast or is it a fan theory podcast?
Okay, chillax. There's a connection.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so the movie Grease begins with Sandy and Danny at the beach, frolicking, being in love amongst the rocks and the waves. The movie then proceeds as a musical montage of fantastic and unrealistic depictions of high school life. There's musical numbers, choreography, popularity, fashion. All of it is a little too good to be true, right?
Right.
Okay, so at the very end, the Grease lightning car drives Sandy and Danny into the clouds. According to the fan theory, Sandy never survives the beach. Danny tries to save her from drowning, as she indicates in the opening number when she says he showed off splashing around, but in the theory, he is unsuccessful. The themes of the film, the music, the choreography, all of that is a fever dream by Sandy that she experiences before ascending into heaven via a car at the end of the movie.
Okay, you win. That makes sense, even though that's kind of a bummer.
You see? Okay, so I'm sure you're super glad I brought all that up. Well, if you like that, listen to this. I got four stories for you today. Two are as real as a parking ticket, and the other two are as fake as a flying car. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm buckled in.
Okay, good, good, good. Okay, so the first car we're test driving today comes from Cape Town. Picture this. Nice day. 2004. The day is winding down. Family party's almost over. People are meandering around. The mood is jovial. And parked to the side is a Renault Megane. It's a car that seems unassuming and innocuous. No one's near it. No one's around it. Nobody is in it. And suddenly, and without warning, it jumps. Not once, but twice. Not downhill due to gravity, but uphill. Who saw this jump? Somebody who maybe had too much fun at the party? No. Nine people. So, I'm no mechanic, believe you me, but some explanations have been tossed around by Renault. And some have been tossed around by people who are not like me, people who are not panicky when they have to open the hood at the Valvoline. But I, for one, am inclined to believe that maybe there was one overzealous foot from beyond that caused this to happen.
That's weird. So the car jumped up in the air?
Exactly.
Whoa.
I know. Okay. All right. Car number two. You know, it's not every day that a grown woman gets horrified by a 64 Dodge. Mm-mm. The car in question is a 330 limited edition Golden Eagle. This American-made machine came into the world as a police cruiser. But what set it apart from the rest of the autos that came off the lot is that it has the distinction of being on the periphery of at least 4 deaths.
Whoa, at least?
Yes, at least. I intentionally said at least. The legends around this car range from it being connected to 4 to at least 14.
Whoa.
Exactly. It said that this car was originally purchased by a police department in Maine, which is the same state of a certain writer of a certain story about a certain killer car. In any case, I have no interest in sharing the road with this piece of classic American muscle.
Me either. That seems 14 is amazing.
Exactly. Yes. So here we are, car number 3. So here we are, we're in the 2020s, and our days consist of driving on dry land. This does not sit well with me, but you know what sits even less well with me? The idea that merely decades ago, our forefathers had more terrain than we have now. I know we can't fly into the sky, but our forefathers were able to at least drive into the sea.
What?
Exactly. Our next story involves the Wonder Machine that allowed them this luxury, the 1960s Amphibicar. According to legend, two young couples once rented this newfangled Amphibicar on a sunny day in 1963. Their intention was to take a cruise from their home into a nearby lake. And what some people say is the reason that these two couples went out on this outing is because there was an issue with the two girls. They were bitter rivals and the boys were friends and they wanted everyone to be happity-happity buddy-buddies. So according to the legend, the boys were the ones who initiated the outing.
Of course.
And of course, what they didn't know is that one of the girls had a streak to her. And she had been heard saying that she would harm the other girl if she had the chance. Unfortunately, the couples never returned home from what should have been a peaceful, happy day. It's said that the car eventually floated to shore, but it was empty of any inhabitants. All that was there were some purses and a picnic lunch. To this day, some people speculate that the girls may have gotten into a scuffle. The boys may have tried to break it up. Maybe everyone ended up in the lake. And the car drifted off, abandoning everyone in the body of water. Now, folks who visit the lake say that they sometimes hear an inexplicable motor sound and splashing along with 60s music on some warm summer nights. But when they go out and look out onto the lake, they don't see anything, just water.
Well, creepy.
Exactly.
It's weird to hear hear the splashing and the doo-wop. That would be pretty terrifying.
Exactly. That's why I don't go out and investigate anything. You're playing your music loud? Go for it. I am staying in here. Okay, our last story involves a car model that lives in business school infamy, the Ford Pinto. If you're not familiar with the Pinto, it debuted in the 70s and was intended to be America's answer to the compact car market question. Unfortunately, it was also an unrequested answer to the how do we make the unsafest car ever question. The placement of the fuel tank left it extremely vulnerable to the fiery rear-end collisions that it is known for. Ford knew all about the defect and opted to release the car anyway, all in the name of the almighty dollar. And that decision that resulted in so many fires was actually made in a sleepy window office nestled in the Ford headquarters located in Dearborn, Michigan. If you've never seen the Ford headquarters, consider looking it up online. It's an interesting building, especially for its time. It is stately, it is rectangular, and it is sometimes called the glass house because it looks like an elegant glass house. It's said that on certain nights, one office looks like it is engulfed in flames, but when people go to investigate, they find nothing but an empty desk. The room is as quiet as a tomb. Some speculate that it is a trick of the light or maybe a passing headlight reflecting just the right way. Others say that the room retained the memory of the fatal decision that was made there decades ago.
Interesting. You know, my uncle, when we were kids, had a Pinto and my mom never let us drive in it because of the gas tank.
Well, that is very, very brilliant of your mother because who knows what could have happened.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, I could be here doing this podcast all by myself. No. Okay, moment of truth. Which of those stories I just shared with you can pass go, and which are going to be stopped at the toll booth of deceit?
So if I had to guess for two, I would say, as much as I want it to be true, the Amphibicar story is not true, even though I always wanted an Amphibicar, because you can drive around and you can see the little propeller on the freeway on the butt. So that's story one. Second one I'm going to say is the jumping car of Cape Town is also not real.
Okay, you're half right. The Amphibicar is absolutely a product of my own red imagination.
Ah.
Uh-huh. However, the Cape Town car is reported to have some truth, or at least it is documented.
Whoa.
As much as any ghost story can be.
Sure.
The actual fakety-fake story is the Ford Pinto. That is the other one that is completely 100% red.
Oh, fooled me.
Uh-huh. Oh, mission accomplished. Okay.
Well, now it's time for ghost guidance. This is a spot for us to write and share anything ghost or spaghetti related that we are compelled to mention this week. Red, what have you got?
Well, we've been talking about cars all night, and with cars comes music for the road. So please allow me to share one of my favorites for a warm, muggy summer night. It is the song Spooky by Dusty Springfield. And I love it because life's a little crazy with a podcast co-host like you.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. What do you got?
Mine is a story, a short story by Richard Matheson called Duel, which was adapted into a movie, which was Spielberg's first movie. It's about a guy being chased down by an unnamed, unseen big rig driver. Not really ghost related, but it's really tense and suspenseful. I definitely recommend, and I absolutely recommend there's a YouTube reading of it where the audiobook is overlaid like a projection of the movie of Duel. So it's really like a real good visceral experience to see and hear it. That's Duel by Richard Matheson. That's my recommendation.
Okay, that rocks.
And that's this week's episode of Ghost Spaghetti. We hope this episode left you dying for more. If you know a story about a magnificently mysterious machine or an automobile apparition, or if you want to tell us that you're in love with your car, please email us at ghostspaghettipodcast@gmail.com.
To spook us on Instagram, find us at ghostspaghettipodcast, or find us in our ghost notes at ghostspaghetti.com. Catch you later, meatballs.